Welcome to Torah Yemecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Danielle Bloom, and today we will explore Parsha Shoftim. In our previous studies of Parshios Devarim, Ve'eschanan, Ekev, and Re'eh, Moshe Rabbeinu, in what can be considered his living will, imparts timeless wisdom that continues to resonate through the generations. He shares with us profound lessons that define what it means to be a Jew and how to lead a life of purpose and fulfillment. He teaches us that hope, mission, meaning, gratitude, and empathy are the cornerstones of the Jewish faith. These are the pillars that give us an important reason to wake up every day while simultaneously keeping our eyes on the future, enabling us to fulfill the ultimate goal of Shema Yisrael. Listen up, internalize this message, Moshe is pleading with us. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. As Rashi teaches us, Hashem, who is Elokeinu now, only our God now, will be Hashem Echad over the entire world. How? That's our job to make it happen. As Rashi concludes, Bayom Hahu, Yihyeh Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. Our enduring existence as a people is a testament to our remarkable adaptability. The basis of evolutionary theory is that those best suited to their environment thrive and persist. The Jewish people's longevity, no people has been here longer than us, implies the existence of cultural factors that have fostered resilience, continuity, and success across millennia, even in the face of unimaginable adversity. And when Hashem places us in more welcoming environments, we bounce back with a ferocity that is unbelievable. We have consistently demonstrated an extraordinary capacity to excel and lead in all fields of knowledge. If their scientific theory is correct, Judaism must have something that gives it this power. Modern research is just now beginning to uncover an understanding of some of the brilliant contributions and secrets of our Holy Torah that lay right below the surface. Let us uncover another one of those pillars this week, a pursuit of lifelong learning and critical thinking. In Parsha Shoftim, Moshe Rabbeinu continues to emphasize the supremacy of the Torah as the eternal guide for the Jewish people, laying the groundwork for a functioning society that embodies the name of Hashem. This Parsha sets forth the leadership structures necessary for a community that can thrive in the land of Israel. But what of our exile? This Parsha, in its establishment of the Torah as the supreme authority, provides a blueprint for our survival as a distinct people, even when scattered across the globe. The unwavering veneration of Torah and its values has been our steadfast companion through centuries of exile, serving as the bedrock upon which our identity and resilience have been built. It is precisely this unwavering commitment to the Torah that has enabled us to remain a distinct nation among nations. The Torah has become the traveling home of the Jewish people. In Sefer Bereishis, Hashem articulates why He chose Avram and his descendants, Vishamru Derech Hashem. Hashem chose Avram because He was going to teach His children the Derech Hashem. And what is the Derech Hashem? La'asos tzedaka u'mishpat. This pasuk underlines the purpose and mission of the Jewish people, to uphold the values of tzedaka and mishpat, righteousness and justice, as a way of life. This is the definition of Derech Hashem. In Parsha Shoftim, Hashem provides specific instructions on how to achieve this mission as a people in our land. The Torah prescribes various branches of government, judges, officers, the Sanhedrin, kings, Kohanim and Levim, and prophets, Nevi'im, all with the unified goal of Vishaftu Esa'a Mishpat Tzedek. Mishpat and Tzedek are the two of the key words of Tanakh. The Chumash outlines that the nation's ability to remain in the land depends on our commitment to these values. Violating them means straying from our divine mission, resulting in exile. However, it's not enough to merely establish these institutions. Their power is constrained by the authority of the Torah and Hashem. The supremacy of the Torah is the ultimate guiding principle, and all these entities derive their legitimacy from it. So yes, we must listen to the king, but the king is subservient to the Torah. The Torah mandates that the king is not an absolute ruler. He must live under the authority of the Torah. This is so crucial that he is required to carry a Sefer Torah with him at all times as a constant reminder of his duties and limitations. The king is not above the law, but is instead a servant to it. The goal is for him to be a living embodiment of the Sefer Torah itself. He needs to carry it, live it, and be it. Can you imagine the profound transformation that would occur if you were to carry a Sefer Torah throughout the day? Imagine carrying the Torah as an inseparable companion. Its presence would be a constant reminder of divine law, shaping every thought, word, and action. The weight of responsibility would be immense, forcing a profound introspection into your character and conduct. To deviate from its teachings would feel like a betrayal of the sacred trust bestowed upon you. It would be very hard to say Lashon Hara while holding a Sefer Torah, and that's the point. Our Parsha instructs, additionally, the Torah instructs the king to avoid excesses, such as amassing wealth, horses, and wives, which could lead him astray. It is fascinating to note that the Torah is one of the earliest systems of governance to advise a division of power among different branches of government. Contrary to popular belief, the Greeks were not the first to conceptualize this. Hashem through the Torah was. This system is evident in how different roles and responsibilities are divided among the king, the Sanhedrin, and the prophets, and all three of them are subservient to the Torah. Another crucial institution of governance discussed in this week's parsha is the role of the prophet. The prophet serves as God's messenger, guiding the people and providing divine insight into God's will. The Torah commands us to listen to him, Elav Tishma'un. However, the prophet's authority is also subject to limitations. The Navi cannot add to or detract from the Torah's commandments. His role is to reinforce the Torah's teachings, provide guidance in specific situations, and call the people to repentance when necessary. If a prophet claims to have a message that contradicts the Torah or seeks to introduce new commandments, he is considered a false prophet, and the Torah instructs us not to follow him. Umeis Hanavi Hahu. That false prophet is put to death. One of the jobs of the prophet is to hold the king accountable, ensuring he adheres to the Torah and does not overstep his bounds. The prophet's role is crucial as it acts as a check on the king's power. The classic example of this is Nasan Hanavi serving as a moral compass for David HaMelech, courageously confronting him about his actions with Bathsheba and Uriah, prompting David's reaction of Chatasi Lashem. Such a story was only possible because both the king and the Navi accepted their subservience to Hashem and his Torah. The Torah also stipulates that the king must not assume the role of the Kohen. This separation of roles ensures that religious and political powers do not become concentrated in one individual. This division was brought into question during the rule of the Chashmonaim in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, when some Hasmonean rulers assumed both priestly and royal roles. This deviation from the path of Torah, as critiqued by Chazal, serves as a prime example of the consequences of disregarding divine law. Another example of the limits placed on power is the role of the Sanhedrin. While the Sanhedrin is a body of great authority, it too is subject to the Torah. The parsha introduces the concept of the Zakei Mamre, the rebellious elder who refuses to accept the majority decision of the Sanhedrin. This individual faces severe consequences, illustrating that even the most learned and esteemed members of society are not above the law. Another major institution of power outlined in our parsha is the authority of the rabbis. This authority is rooted in the commandment to follow the rabbis as outlined in the Torah, Vishamarta la'asos k'chal asher yorucha. The Torah enjoins us to go to our Talmidei Chachamim for guidance and halacha, and we have to do as they tell us. This responsibility is the source of all authority for the rabbinic commandments, or mitzvos d'rabbanan, those laws established by the rabbis to guide the Jewish people in their daily lives. Our rabbis serve as the guardians of the Torah, entrusted with interpreting and applying its wisdom across generations. Their authority stems from the sacred responsibility, enabling them to establish guidelines for Jewish life. However, as Rambam says in his introduction to Sefer HaMitzvos, while the rabbis have the authority to enact rabbinic law to help safeguard the Torah and its commandments, they are strictly prohibited from blurring the lines between Torah law d'oraisa and rabbinic law d'rabbanan. This is to avoid the prohibition of Bal Tosef and Bal Tigra, the commandment against adding to or subtracting from the Torah. A clear distinction between Torah law and rabbinic law is paramount for preserving the Torah's integrity. While rabbinic authority is essential, it remains subordinate to the Torah. A final example of communal responsibility, leadership, and the limits of power is at the conclusion of our parsha. The mitzvah of the Egla Arufa, a ritual performed when a murder victim is found with no known perpetrator, is a profound exploration of communal responsibility. The elders of the nearest city, though innocent of the crime, publicly declare, "Our hands did not shed this blood, nor did our eyes see it done." This declaration is not merely a formality, it's a solemn acknowledgement of the community's collective failure to prevent the tragedy. The Torah imposes this weighty responsibility upon the leadership, demanding they create a society where such horrors are unthinkable. Look at what high standards to which we hold our Rabbanim. Wow. All of this explains how we functioned as a nation while in the land, but if we were to be exiled, and all of these governmental agencies taken away from us, if we lose our land, our king, our courts, our Beis HaMikdash, then how could we survive as a nation? Historians have marveled at the continued existence of the Jewish people. How are we still here? Obviously, some of it is miraculous. Without Hashem's loving, guiding hand, we wouldn't be here. But as we showed with gratitude, empathy, and mission, there are also natural reasons that are purposefully built into the fabric of the Torah from the beginning to explain our longevity and success. And some of those institutions come from our parsha as well. The reason why we venerate our Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, is because of this week's parsha. Additionally, Parsha Shoftim unveils another cornerstone of Jewish survival. It lays the groundwork for a society deeply committed to learning. By elevating the Torah above all else, the Parsha implicitly mandates widespread education. Unlike any other civilization, the Jewish people have historically prioritized learning for every individual, regardless of gender or social standing. From the tender age of infancy, we instill a love for Torah. Rambam tells us to whisper Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe into the newborn's ear. As soon as he can speak and read, Lashon HaKodesh must be taught in order to ignite a lifelong journey of learning. Even in antiquity, when literacy was a privilege, Jewish boys were universally taught to read and write. This commitment to education reached the zenith under Ben Gamla, who pioneered a comprehensive system of public education 1,800 years before its adoption by other cultures. Our sacred texts extol the virtues of constant learning, urging us, "Behigisa bo yomam v'layla," immerse ourselves in Torah day and night. A Jewish man is obligated to learn every second of the day. A Jewish woman is obligated to become an expert in every halacha that pertains to her. This is a lifelong task. This unwavering dedication to scholarship has produced a lineage of extraordinary scholars. Our gedolim continue to teach and learn and write svarim well into old age. How old? Some examples. Rav Shach is 102. Rav Eliashib, 102. Rav Avadya Yosef, 93. Recently, Rav Chaim Kanievsky was 94. And here in America, Yibad al-Chaim, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky is 99. Rav Herschel Schachter is a sprightly 83. This is nothing short of incredible. What is the secret to this longevity? As we learn together, we begin to see the science hidden behind the Yad Hashem. These are men who are filled with gratitude, empathy, meaning, and hope. They have a passion for life. They are men on a mission. They spend every spare minute delving into the infinite depths of our Holy Torah. They exemplify the pillars we have been discussing. It's no longer a wonder why they are who they are. They are the living Sifrei Torah, and that is why we revere and cherish them. It's remarkable to witness how the timeless tradition of lifelong learning, deeply ingrained in Jewish culture for millennia, aligns with cutting-edge scientific research. Our sages, with their unwavering commitment to intellectual pursuit, exemplified a lifestyle that contemporary neuroscience is now validating as a potent safeguard against cognitive decline. By engaging in continuous learning, they were effectively building cognitive reserves, a mental fortification that modern science suggests can delay or even mitigate the onset of dementia. The dedication of our gedolim, who continue to teach and learn well into their advanced years, is more than just a testament to their spiritual devotion. It's a practical demonstration of the brain's capacity for growth and adaptability at any age. Their lives serve as living proof that intellectual stimulation is not merely a desirable pursuit, but a vital component of optimal brain health. This convergence of ancient wisdom and modern science offers profound implications. It reinforces the notion that our rich intellectual heritage is not merely a historical relic, but a living, breathing tradition with tangible benefits for our well-being. It also inspires us to embrace lifelong learning as not just a cultural imperative, but a proactive step toward a healthier, more fulfilling later life. Lema'an ya'arichun yamecha. In essence, the Torah is pioneering a form of preventative medicine millennia before scientists understood it. But Hashem created us, and Hashem gave us the Torah as a way to navigate the world. It's only logical that it would be good for our health as well. Researchers like Dr. Yaakov Stern, Dr. Lisa Barnes, and others have made significant contributions to our understanding of cognitive reserve and the role of lifelong learning in brain health. Their work provides scientific validation for the hidden wisdom of the Torah. Continuing to challenge the mind day and night keeps it fresh and alive. Parsha Shoftim delivers an unequivocal message. The Torah reigns supreme as the ultimate authority and arbiter. As Rabbi Wein poignantly observed, our ancestors fled persecution with few material possessions, but clung fiercely to their Torah scrolls and manuscripts. These handwritten treasures, representing the heart and soul of our heritage, miraculously endured through centuries of exile and oppression. The Bali Tosfos composed profound commentaries amidst the turmoil of the Crusades. Abarbanel, exiled from Spain, found solace and purpose in Torah scholarship. And the Piasetzna Rebbe wrote the Eish Kodesh inside the Warsaw Ghetto. How did he do it? How did they maintain focus in the face of such adversity? The answer lies in the Torah's profound power to sustain and inspire. The Hebrew University Library houses an awe-inspiring collection of ancient Torah manuscripts, the largest in the world, a tangible testament to our people's enduring connection to the divine. 25 years ago, one of my professors took our class on a trip to see them. To be in the presence of texts that had witnessed countless generations, that had been cherished and protected through fire and sword, was overwhelming. There in front of me were the remnants of our people's unwavering commitment to Torah. I saw Ksav Yad of the Rashba with my own eyes, the delicate parchment, the intricate script, and could almost imagine the scribes who had poured their hearts and souls into these holy documents. It was as if the spirits of our ancestors were present in that room, their voices echoing through the centuries. It was more than just a collection of books or laws. It was a living, breathing entity that had sustained us through the darkest of times. I was moved to tears. Yet the true miracle lies not in these historical artifacts, but in the living, breathing tradition of Torah study that continues today. To come home and see my sons learning that same Rashba, I thank Hashem that I am Zocha to be the conduit to the words of the Rashba living on in the Jewish people. This embodies the spirit of those who came before. It's not just in a museum. Our sons and daughters are still sweating over those same holy words today. That's the secret to our survival. This parsha declares unequivocally that all authority, whether vested in a king, a prophet, a priest, is subordinate to the Torah. It's a sacred trust demanding our unwavering protection and perpetuation. This parsha says the Torah is everything. Each of you learning Torah right now together on Torah Rimecha Parsha embodies the extraordinary power of the Torah. Amidst the demands of modern life, you have chosen to prioritize Torah study. This is nothing short of a miracle. You could have clicked on anything, and you clicked on Torah. You could be doing something else. You're not in school, and this is what you're choosing to do? You are a testament to the enduring relevance and inspiration of our tradition. Thousands of years after Moshe Rabbeinu's passing, we stand united in learning his words. Your presence here is a testament, an enduring affirmation of our Torah's legacy and power. Ashreinu, ma tov chalkeinu. Thank you for learning together.